In 1859, a slim volume appeared that would fundamentally reshape our understanding of freedom. When Barack Obama was asked which book most influenced his political thinking, he named this one, John Stuart Mill's On Liberty. Despite being over 160 years old, its arguments feel startlingly relevant in our age of cancel culture, social media conformity, and political polarization. At its core lies a radical question. What happens when democracy itself becomes oppressive? Mill identified a danger more insidious than government censorship, the crushing weight of social conformity that silences dissent and stifles human development. As tech entrepreneur Peter Thiel observed, Mill's warning about social conformity feels more urgent today than when he wrote it. Mill's entire philosophy rests on one deceptively simple principle. The only legitimate reason for society to interfere with an individual's liberty is to prevent harm to others. Your own good, physical, moral, or intellectual, is never sufficient justification for others to compel you against your will. You might believe your friend's career choice is misguided or their romantic partner is wrong for them. You're free to express concern, offer advice, even plead with them to reconsider. But forcing their decision through coercion crosses a fundamental line. Society may attempt to persuade one another about self-regarding actions, but never compel. This principle applies only to adults capable of self-governance, not to children or those unable to make informed decisions. It's grounded in the belief that human flourishing requires the freedom to experiment with different ways of living. While we're accountable for actions harming others, in matters affecting only ourselves, independence must be absolute. Mill passionately defends freedom of thought and expression, arguing that silencing any opinion, regardless of how false or immoral it seems, harms humanity in four crucial ways. First, the suppressed opinion might be true. History is filled with obvious truths later proven false. When the world's wisest minds insisted the sun revolved around Earth, or when Socrates was executed despite being considered the wisest man of his age, they demonstrated the danger of assuming infallibility. Second, even false opinions typically contain partial truths essential for complete understanding. Human perspectives on complex subjects rarely represent the whole truth, they embody fragments of it. Political viewpoints illustrate this. Progressives might correctly identify systemic barriers, while conservatives accurately recognize the importance of personal responsibility, both partial truths requiring integration. Third, without vigorous contestation, even wholly true opinions become dead dogmas held without understanding. Truth benefits more from the errors of someone who studies a question with personal care than from correct opinions held simply because alternatives were never heard. Knowledge without understanding creates empty slogans rather than living convictions. Freedom of thought must extend to freedom of action. Society may restrict actions harming others, but individuals should be free to act on their own opinions at their own risk when only they are affected. Mill argues that individuality is essential to human happiness and progress. Those who let others choose their life plan use merely the ape-like faculty of imitation, while those who choose for themselves engage all their faculties, observation, judgment, discrimination, firmness, and self-control. Human nature isn't a machine built to specification, but a tree needing growth in all directions. Strong impulses aren't inherently dangerous. They become perilous only when unbalanced. A person whose desires aren't their own has no character, like a steam engine without its own power source. While society once struggled to control strong individuals, now individuality faces the threat of conformity. People rarely ask what they prefer or what suits their character, but what is customary. Many choose careers, relationships, and lifestyles based on social expectations rather than authentic desires. By not following their own nature, people's capacities wither, leaving them without genuine opinions or feelings. Mill identifies a growing threat to individuality, the increasing power of public opinion, what he calls the collective mediocrity. Unlike ancient times when individuals could be significant powers, today individuals are lost in the crowd, with public opinion ruling everything. This opinion stems not from dignitaries or books, but from social media and ordinary people. Democratic society cannot rise above mediocrity except when guided by gifted individuals. All wise initiatives must originate from individuals, typically from a single person. In an age dominated by average opinion, pronounced individuality becomes especially valuable. Eccentricity, once abundant wherever strong character existed, has become rare, marking our era's chief danger. The prevailing ideal is to have no marked character at all, to compress every prominent human trait, eliminating dissimilarity to commonplace humanity. We now see weak feelings and energies that conform outwardly without strength of will, rather than great energies guided by reason and strong feelings controlled by conscience. Energetic characters become merely traditional, as the despotism of custom perpetually opposes liberty, progress, and improvement. Where should we draw the line between individual sovereignty and social authority? Mill proposes that individuality should govern what primarily concerns the individual, while society should control what chiefly interests the collective. Though society isn't founded on a contract, coexistence requires fundamental obligations, not harming others' interests and bearing one's fair share of societal burdens through concrete responsibilities like paying taxes, serving on juries, and community defense. Mill distinguishes between our response to someone who displeases us in matters beyond our control rights versus those who violate others' rights. In the former, we may express distaste or distance ourselves, but shouldn't make their life uncomfortable. Someone practicing an unusual religion shouldn't face persecution, though others might choose not to associate with them. When someone harms others through fraud, violence, or negligence, society must protect its members by inflicting proportionate punishment. The strongest argument against public interference in personal conduct is that it typically intervenes wrongly. While public opinion on social morality may often be right because people judge their own interests, the majority's opinion on self-regarding conduct is equally likely to be misguided. Mill's defense of individual liberty directly addresses our current struggles with online mobs, ideological purity tests, and narrowing discourse. His argument's power stems from acknowledging human fallibility rather than abstract rights. By recognizing we might be wrong, that our beliefs might contain only partial truth, he provides a compelling case for tolerating dissent. In our polarized society, where each side claims absolute correctness, Mill's humility offers a vital corrective. His defense of eccentricity challenges our culture of algorithmic conformity. As social media pushes us toward homogeneous content, Mill's celebration of diverse experiments of living reminds us what we lose when surrendering to collective mediocrity. Mill helps distinguish between legitimate social regulation and illegitimate interference through his harm principle. Society may prevent harm to others, but should leave individuals free in self-regarding matters. In a world marked by both excessive individualism and stifling conformity, Mill's balanced approach respects autonomy while acknowledging social responsibilities. His vision of human flourishing through diversity of thought remains our best defense against both anarchy and tyranny.